Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. As a reminder, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, I welcome my friend and colleague, Dr. Steven Cervantes, into our new cozy little what we call barn office studio for a real and raw conversation about breaking old harmful habits, especially those that are rooted in childhood. Together, we're going to explore how these habits form as coping mechanisms, the emotional battles that are involved in letting them go, and the importance of kindness toward our younger selves. We discuss faith, the power of emotional connection, and practical steps for real and lasting change. Because our desire is to help men grow in integrity and relationships, so we invite you to join us as we encourage each other to pursue healthier, more loving ways of living. For daily thoughts from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, visit bebroken.org or check out some of the links that we're going to put in today's show notes because they really apply to helping break some of these older habits. And of course, friends, after you've listened, would you please rate and review the podcast to help others find it? Now, let's dive into today's important conversation about battling and breaking bad habits. And please forgive us for some minor audio troubles in this episode. Thanks. Well, all right. We've got Dr. Cervantes with us. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm glad to be here. It's fun. I'm in your new office and it looks good.
Yeah. So this is our new little kind of podcast studio that we have out here in what we're affectionately calling the barn office.
The barn office.
Yeah. We were able to, thanks to my engineering father-in-law and just some space we had out here, we were able to create some office space.
Beautiful. So, God bless this place and may we bless many people, husbands and wives and young men and old.
Absolutely. And so what I wanted to talk about today was, you know, or just remind people is we get all of our ideas, or I should say 90% of our ideas for this podcast with you and me from drmarriage.org.
Thank you.
And, you know, you are Dr. Marriage. And so it's fun to be able to, you put out this daily thought that is really designed for men, for husbands especially, to be able to know, hey, how do you keep going on this emotional growth mission? How do you keep cultivating a great relationship? Yes. And so just a little plug for drmarriage.org. If you're a guy out there that wants to just have a daily idea, a daily thought to help you kind of say.
And that's what it's written for, to give you an idea to go share with your wife, have a little conversation. She loves it when you come to her. Bring her something to talk about, have a little dialogue, have a connection. But look, I have to tell you, there's two of us. Tim Burkfest is the other part of Dr. Marriage that makes it possible. Mm-hmm. He cleans up my writing and puts it out there. And so, yes, if you want it to come to you directly, drmarriage.org.
So is he a little bit like your Dr. Watson to Sherlock Holmes?
Kind of? I love it. There you go. We're some kind of Laurel and Hardy, or there's some kind of team here, you know?
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm excited about today's topic because this one did come off of Dr. Marriage, and the title was just Battle Your Old Habits.
Yep.
So let's talk about it.
Oh, man. Habits are really good and sometimes a problem, right? Because to practice good skills habitually and to be disciplined, that's a wonderful thing. But what if you picked up a skill in your youth to cope and survive, you know, and it's not a great habit? So let's talk about, well, what do we pick up in our youth? escaping, defending, hiding, pretending, role-playing. And, you know, we have to be kind to ourselves. It's hard. I mean, it's easy to be hard on yourself. It's really easy to be critical of yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to live well, be hard on yourself.
Yeah.
But as your sign out front says, grace
changes everything.
Changes everything. But if you could walk in grace, practice grace, because we've been given grace.
And I think to your point about thinking about what we picked up in childhood, I think it's that much more important that as we are trying to unpack a lot of that, to be kind to our younger self, right?
Yes.
It's so easy to go back like as a 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old man.
Yeah.
And then when you start discovering that so much of your current brokenness is rooted in your childhood, it's easy to just like be so hurtful and harsh towards your younger self.
Yeah.
When we have to realize that so many of these habits and things that we were picking up in childhood, we were just doing that. We were picking it up. We were kind of taking the path of least resistance. A lot of that has to do with the environment we were in, right?
Exactly.
Or the role models that we had. And so in some ways, we were learning these habits from others. They weren't all like, hey, they just pop into my head and they're all my own idea. It's a mixture, right?
Right. If you think about mom, and she had good skills and not so good skills. Dad had good skills and some not so good skills. Those are your trainers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have friends and they're saying things to you and you're trying to pick up a way to survive and cope and get through life. Because do you remember teenage years as being awkward, odd years? Goodness.
I think especially of like middle school. I don't know if I've ever met anyone in life that says, if of all the times that I could go back to in my life, I would want to go back to middle school. You know, that 12, 13, 14-year-old time. I mean, when everything's transitioning, it's just such an awkward, difficult, you know, all these hormones are going crazy. And
you're triggering me right now because I remember I said I had a brother that was 1 year older. And I said, whatever he does, I'm going to do. So he would tell a joke and his friends would laugh and I'd make a note. I got to go tell my friends that joke. You know, we need somebody.
We mimic, right?
Because my dad was kind of a quiet loner and he wasn't much of a role. He was a good working role model, but not an emotional role model. So that whole idea of where did you learn these skills and how did they arrive? And now you get to adulthood and you brought some bad habits with you.
And let's back up just for a second, because I think it's important just to talk about habits in general and the reality that that word is not inherently negative, right? I mean, we are habitual people. There's a sense in which we're made for kind of operating in structure and systems and rhythms, right? And so let's just start by saying habits are not all bad.
Oh, no.
Right?
No.
There's a
reading
need for habits.
Reading your Bible every day is a good habit.
Yeah.
Right?
Can you even talk a little bit about how we're just wired as human beings to kind of need habits? Like it's part of our survival.
Well, and I think the brain loves to conserve energy. And the way it does it, it organizes and makes habitual things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we don't have to, every time something comes up, we have to think it through all the way. No, we already know what we think about the situation and we act in. So we're always conserving energy. And so we develop habits.
Mm-hmm.
But also emotionally, we develop habits for coping and surviving and living with other people. Have you noticed how alone you are? How there's nobody on the planet like you? Isn't that a little eerie at times? There's nobody just like you on this planet.
Yeah.
So how can anybody understand you or know you or get you?
It's kind of like there's a proverb that talks about each man's sorrow and joy is his own.
Mm.
Meaning like, you know, we can try to maybe share some joy.
Right.
Like if something exciting has happened in my life and you can try to share that joy, but you can't fully experience and understand my joy. Same thing with sorrow, right? It's like, so there's parts of our being that we do carry in that aloneness. Like it's yours. It's
well,
mine.
And that's why emotions are so important for connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, because we can tell stories in our head all day long, but we don't make a connect. We make a half a connection. Oh, you've been to the beach. I've been to the beach. Okay, fine. But what happens is you trigger me into my own story.
Mm.
So when you say your dog got hit by a car and died, you know what I immediately think? My dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Got hit by a car.
And that's what I think that's what we're looking for, is we're looking for those shared experiences, right? Or at least a shared feeling.
But even deeper than that is the sadness. When you say, man, I'm so sad. Matt's mm-hmm. dog's been with me, my best friend, the best dog. I'm immediately going into the to making a connection. My sadness. And we just stumbled on a really important point here. And that is, in your emotions, we make our connection. So in your sadness, and I feel close to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I would even say, you know, I talk about this in our intensive workshop about what I call the principle of reciprocity in communication.
Okay.
And so the idea is, if I bring sadness to you and you don't connect with me in sadness,
right,
we can't actually have a connection.
No, we don't. That's right. I brought sadness, you brought happiness.
If I bring sadness to you, and then either you bring happiness, or you just bring a Bible verse, or you just bring something real heady, we haven't made a connection, right?
Right. No, that's right.
And
we
so
didn't.
What you're talking about is the way we really connect. And that's probably why we're going to talk about why you need to break up with some of these old habits, because they're not just behavioral, right? So many of these habits have an effect on us emotionally and relationally in terms of how is this affecting our connection?
But see, I always think two thoughts. We're driven by fears, and we live in survival mode a lot. You go into a new place you've never been before, you immediately, how am I going to handle myself? What am I going to do? How are you going to act? How am I going to ask? This is new. I don't know it. So we're always going to survival, right? We're going to group. Right, we go to a new class. I don't know anybody in this class. How am I going to survive the first one? Right, we do a lot of surviving. And so habits help us. How do you carry yourself? What do you want to say? What usually gets a good response?
Right.
Let's try that again. So a lot of things are driven by fears and surviving. And so when I see people struggling, even with bad habits, I think, oh, you're scared right now. You don't know what to do. So your anger is up to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a habit. So let me look at my notes here.
So we're going to talk about breaking up, right?
With these old habits.
I love that kind of language, because it's you do kind of have a sort of relationship with your habits, don't you?
Yeah, and I've got some language here of what habits say to us. And so, and we're talking about old bad habits, right? Some habits got us through, but they're going to hinder us, right? If we're like a perfectionist, that habit makes everything great, but it consumes all your time and energy, and you can't live well, right? Or if you're a controller, if you're a worrier, some of these, and we're talking about simple bad habits all the way to sophisticated bad habits. There's things that have to be broken out of all of us, right? So when you say to a habit that's been around for a long time, we got to break up, what do you think it's going to do? It's going to scream.
It won't go quietly into the night, right?
Throw a fit. It's going to hang on for dear life. It's going to hide in the background. It's going to say, sure, sure, you can get rid of me. Ha, ha, ha. And wait, you know, because it's, remember, habits are useful at one point in time. But if it's a bad habit, it's not useful at this point in time.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, habits are formed around beliefs, right? We believe things, and then we act a certain way. So I use language because if I'm scared, I need a way to cope with that fear, right? So we talk about the inner child, and we talk about when we were kids. But it's really the beliefs that we had that we're really talking about. What was scary? What did I do when I was scared as a kid? What did I believe? I couldn't take care of myself. So it's almost like these old beliefs, they're encoded in language and they still speak to us, right? And so you can't live without me. You've needed me. I've gotten you through all these bad times. Why would you want to break up with me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if you think about it, the fact that you've perpetuated that habit kind of lends a little credibility to that objection, right? In other words, the bad habit is saying to you, you can't live without me. And in the back of your mind, you're going, I really don't know what it's like to live without you. Maybe you are right, you know, because all I've ever known is to do this bad habit. And so what you're going to find in some of these statements that we share here is that there's a little bit of truth in there, right?
Right.
But the lie in there is when the bad habit says, you need me. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, maybe I have convinced myself that I can't live without you, but wait a second. I don't need you. Ooh. I don't need you for a fulfilled life. I don't need you for peace, you know.
So I'm going to read the line, make a comment or two, and you tell us the weakness or the negative part of it, okay? So when the old habit lays back there waiting till you're desperate, it waits till you're sad and you're lonely and you don't know what to do. And it says, well, let's do what we've always done. Let's do the habit. I'll take care of you. You don't feel good right now. I'll take care of you right now.
Yeah. And I think the quote unquote truth in this is that has been the experience up until now. Is that, when I get sad and lonely or when I feel one of these negative emotions, this bad habit has always been there. But the idea that the lie in here is that it's as if the habit is saying, I'm the only thing that can take care of you. Instead of saying, it's making you think there's no other options. Like when I get sad or lonely or afraid or whatever, my only option is to do this bad habit.
Because the habit will come out first and fast.
Yeah, because it's been conditioned, you know, right? It's been your conditioning.
Right. And the old bad habit will pitch a fit and say, whoa, wait, you've used me for 20 years. We go way back. You know, you've used me. And I don't forget how many times I bailed you out and what great value I have. Why are you ditching me now?
Well, and what's interesting about this is you mentioned it a minute ago. You know, there is when habits are forming, even bad habits, they serve a purpose at first, right?
They do.
And so you think about in childhood, maybe you grew up in a really chaotic home. And so you know what? Going to some of these places of fantasy that maybe eventually became sexualized fantasy.
Ooh, that's good.
There's a habit that formed there that says, I need some relief from this chaotic environment. But then to say that is of great value to you when you're 35 or 45 years old is to say, wait a second. No, there was a purpose that it served, and it started leading me down a path that now, look at where I'm at now. No, you're not serving me in a good way 20 years later. You know, so that's the lie there. It's like, I'm still of great value to you. It's like, no. When you were 7 and you didn't know what to do, you're trying to just escape a bad, chaotic situation.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to shame you for that. But you are a 35-year-old man now. And you are escaping from your wife and your kids, and you're going to these places in your mind that are not healthy for you. Nope, you're not allowed here anymore. You know, you're not of value to me.
That is good. But what about the pain? You've been neglected and abandoned, mistreated. You've been rejected. What about the pain that nobody wants you? Or we're talking about how we're uniquely made and we're so alone. And when you feel so lonely, what about the pain? I'm like medicine. Pain invites me to come rescue you. What are you going to do with pain now?
Yeah, well, I think of it this way. When you have pain and you're looking to, you know, treat that. There is a treatment that could eliminate the pain. Just take a cyanide pill. The pain's gone, but it's not good for you. Or you could try a different course of action. So in this whole argument of pain, again, it kind of goes back to that idea of your habit is trying to convince you that it's the only avenue for you to respond to certain things that are going on in your life. Mm-hmm. So it's as if saying, hey, when any kind of pain erupts in your life, you only have one choice. You can only go to this medication or this solution.
Mm. Hey, you can't break up with me. We've been dance partners for a very long time, and I'm not going to let go of you. You made me to be your best friend, and I'll be here, and I'll be here, and I'll be here, and I'll resist leaving, and I will fight you if you tell me to leave. I'm not going anywhere. We're dance partners from here to the end.
Well, I will say this, that there's a lot of truth in this particular argument. Because anyone who's listening or watching us who has actually tried to break up with a bad habit.
Oh gosh, it's true.
It fights you like crazy, right? It's not something that says, oh, so you had this one moment in time where you had a rational thought and you realized this is not good. And you just thought, you know what? I don't need to do this anymore. And your little habit just said, okay, we'll see you later. Have a great life. I mean,
you're triggering me into 3 o'clock when I get hungry. A little craving. Why don't you eat something, you know? Just grab
and not something good like a
chips,
banana or what?
Some salty, crunchy. Come on, eat some. Well, you're going to eat in a couple hours. And it's like, but you're hungry. It's painful. Hunger is painful. Let me help you.
And the idea here, so I just want to say again, there's a lot of truth in this. There's going to be a lot of resistance. There's going to be a lot of fighting. And this is why I actually think, kind of to put it into maybe a spiritual lens, this is why I think God's word uses such stark language like crucify the flesh and its sinful desires. So there's a sense in which you don't go, hey, how do we negotiate with the flesh? How do we kind of bargain with that part of us that says, I want to do something evil?
Yeah.
It's like, no, you got to kill it. And I wish I could say that you could like kill your bad habit once and that it doesn't come back to life. Yeah. But it tends to rise again a lot of times. So you have to keep killing it. And that's, I think, how you, on the one hand, you start to break up with the bad habit. But hopefully what we'll see in a minute is you have to actually start to replace it with the good habits. Like, you can't just leave a vacuum there.
I wonder if I wrote that. That's a really good insight. It might not be in this blog. Come up with some new habits, you know, write some new material for yourself. So a bad habit will say, look, I exist because at one point you needed to get out of a bad situation, some pain, some stress, some loneliness. You needed me, okay? And so I have always been there. I mean, since your youth, I've been there. And you needed me, and I've always been there. Why do you think now? Why now do you think I'm no good? You don't want me.
Yeah, well, I think of it like, we have different relationships all throughout our lifetime, right? And so let's try to think of this in terms of a almost like a business partnership. And you maybe realize at some point in time that this partnership that you made with someone in business, you realize, wait a second, I'm starting to learn that they cheat, they lie, they cut corners. There's a time in which you go, oh, you know what? There's a season in which we were building something together and I thought one thing about what you were bringing to the table. And now that I realize that what you're bringing to the table is not actually good, we got to end this relationship.
Yeah.
And so there's a sense in which it's like, hey, the time is right. I've woken up to who you really are. I've woken up to what you're really doing in my life. And I'm not going to let you, you know, keep doing that.
And I love that, like, new perspective, higher view. Mm-hmm. When you think about our faith and our Christian walk and the things we're learning, we did things as kids in and our youth to survive, but they will never allow us to thrive.
Right.
And when you commit your life to Christ and say, okay, I'm yours, work on me, he's going to be pulling all these threads of bad habits, going, what about this? What about this? Why? To torment us? No, so we can be free.
Exactly, yeah.
We want to live higher and better and richer and fuller. So, look, I'm your bad habit, okay? And you're trying to break up. But when nobody else cared, do you understand? Nobody cared. I brought you some relief. I was a little distraction. Nobody cared. Don't you remember the loneliness of nobody caring and not having friends? Don't you remember?
Yeah, see, that's one of those things too. Again, if you'll start to, you're seeing a theme here, right? That there's truth that's kind of sprinkled in these arguments that the bad habit is making.
Okay.
And the idea is, oh yeah, I brought you some relief. Remember that? Now, again, it's making the assumption that's the only kind of relief you should be looking for. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that's a lie is that no one cared. It's like, oh, you might have had a lot of evidence in your life that a lot of people weren't paying attention. But you know what? I know of a God who says, hey, will you cast your cares on me because I care for you? So there's a sense in which, hey, there might have been no person around you in your life in that season that was expressing any care, but there's always one who actually does care about your life. So
that's good.
Sometimes the voice of our bad habit can drown out the whisper of God's continual reminder, hey, I care about you. I care for you.
Yeah. Isn't there a quote by C.S. Lewis that says, in pleasure, when you're all happy, I'm going to get it wrong. God is a whisper, right?
But in our pain, he's shouting. Yeah, he shouts at us in our pain. Yeah, exactly.
Look, let me just remind you again about the pain of being alone. Don't you see the groups hanging together and hanging out and the buzz calling and no one calling you? Don't you remember they fit in? They were a group. They had a club. They had a gang of guys, a baseball team. They were, you know, buds. And I was there. And I made a commitment to you that when nobody else is there and you feel the pain of being alone, and as a kid, it's miserable pain to be alone. Nobody wants you. Nobody's calling you. Nobody's asking you to go spend the weekend. You're alone. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I think about, okay, this is where we need to be, tell ourselves the truth and tell each other the truth that you have pain whichever direction you are going to go with relationship. If you are going to go to say, I am not going to be in relationship, you're going to have deep pain in loneliness. But guess what? If you say, I'm going to work toward relationship, you're going to have pain.
And loneliness.
And so it's like the idea here is, again, there's this false narrative that this habit is telling you that the only thing that matters is what you're doing with this habit. And that's really what's going to bring you comfort and relief. When in fact, you have a long history that you actually know, wait a second, if I have a moment of clarity and actually tell myself the truth, when I engage in this happiness, it seems as if my loneliness increases, not decreases.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like it doesn't get
you where you really want to go.
I go and do this thing that is supposed to give me relief when I'm feeling lonely. Yeah. And then guess what? I feel more lonely. It's like it compounds the loneliness, not actually relieves it.
That is good. And that's a bad habit.
Oh, yeah.
Right? A good habit would be go call a friend, go for a walk with God.
I would say this. I think any habit, whether it's in the category of something that's sinful or not, I think any habit that is going to ultimately perpetually draw us out of relationships away from is a bad habit.
Yeah, we're made for oneness.
We're made for relationships.
We're made for unity,
yeah.
Yes. So, look, I'm a habit. I don't mind hanging around, okay? I'll just sit in the background. I don't mind being in the background. You do whatever you want. But when you hit that spot that you hate, that's pain inside you, the loneliness, the neglect, I'll just be waiting for your most vulnerable moment when you're weak, broken down, feeling unloved, by yourself, and even shaming yourself, okay? I'm pretty good. When the shame voice comes up and screams how bad you are, nobody wants you, guess what? I'll be here.
See, and this is, again, along those lines of thinking that it's okay to sort of allow these types of habits to hang around. Like, listen, hey, as long as I'm not acting this or not behaving in this way, isn't it okay that I kind of keep some breadcrumb trails too? And it's like we do a webinar for men just to kind of help guys understand how do you live a life of integrity. And I ask these strategic questions at the end to help them take their next best step. And one of the questions is what needs to be removed? Like what needs to be removed from your life?
Right.
And I'll get brutal with guys. I'm like, you know who you are. You know where all the breadcrumbs are. And are you willing to say, I got to cut myself off completely from even the trails that used to lead? You know, we can fool ourselves into saying, oh, I'm not, you know, fill in the blank with whatever the behavior is. But if you're basically saying, oh, yeah, but I still have that HBO subscription and I can go watch a seedy movie anytime, it's like, wait a second. Yeah. You just left a breadcrumb trail there to an old habit that, like you said here, is waiting around saying, hey, I can just be back in the background. Hey, I'm just that HBO channel that you haven't watched in 3 months, but hey, you know what? When you feel really lonely. And so
I like, you're a pretty good actor there. I like, hey, I'll just wait around. I'm not in a hurry. I don't take any energy. I'll just be here.
Right.
But when you're breaking down, I will climb on your back and ride you, mm-hmm. sucker. So when you were a boy, young and confused, you needed ways to cope and self-soothe. Life was hard. It was confusing. And there were a lot of times when you sat alone and no one was there. Well, I'm a habit that got formed to show up at just that moment.
Mm-hmm.
From your boyhood, from your middle school years, from your elementary, middle school, from high school, from rejection and not inclusion and not valued and laughed at and mocked and called the goofy kid and excluded, right? Since your boyhood, I've taken care of you. I'm not dying.
Yeah, it makes me think of, when Paul is writing that amazing chapter in 1 Corinthians on love, and he talks about what love is, and he's like, man, this is the supreme. This is what it's all about. And then right after that, he says, you know, I basically am imploring you to mature in your thinking, because when I was a boy, when I was a child, I thought and reasoned like a child.
Yes.
But when I became a man, I grew up and started thinking and acting like a man. And so there's a sense in which, oh yeah, habit, you're right. You are absolutely from my childhood, from my boyhood, but I'm not a child anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to grow up. I want to learn what it is to be a man. And being a man is not continuing to think and reason in these ways with this old habit. Mm-hmm. I have to learn how to mature and say, you know what? Everything about this habit is not leading me to being a great lover. Like that 1 Corinthians 13 chapter is that, yes. That's the ultimate. It's not about spiritual giftedness. It's not about skill. It's like, do you know how to love? Like, that's the sign of maturity. Whoa. And this habit is not helping me do that.
You're sounding wise now. Well, you are sounding good. We are lovers who got messed up with bad habits, mm-hmm. and then we have to break up with the bad habits. And so the last comment is, look, you have no alternative. At least none that you really believe in, none that works as good as me. I'm your bad habit. I always deliver. I always show up. I'm always good for a few moments of pleasure and distraction. And you can't fight me. You have to, when I show up, you have to concede. Because you have no alternative.
Yeah, and this is one of those, there's more lie in this than truth.
Mm.
Now, the feeling of truth is that you might have a long, long history of having given into this habit. So it can feel like, man, this is truth. This is true. I've given into this way more than I haven't.
Mm.
And so it can almost seem like hopelessness. Yeah. It can almost seem like maybe I don't have an alternative. And Stephen, how many guys do we see that are trying to break these unwanted behaviors, and they come to this point of realizing, I don't know how much hope I have, because I've never experienced like just a lifetime of, you know, good habits. And I just wonder if I can actually break this habit. And this is where we have to bring the community of brothers around men who are in these kinds of situations. And we have to actually give them tangible, real examples of, hey, look over to this guy. Look at that guy. Look at, not because we're trying to say something's special about them, but it is possible for you to live free and clear from all these bad habits that you've been engaging in. And to go on a growth mission that says you don't have to believe these lies anymore.
Because
again, if you think about it, every single one of these statements here, man, it's got a lie woven through it that says you're destined to be alone. Nobody will want you. You can't ever make it. You know, you're not good enough.
So you better run away and find some quick pleasure and escape. And I'm going to be a ball and chain on you the rest of your life. You'll never be free.
Yeah.
So let's give a little bit of hope. Because I think our faith is all about bigger beliefs than small bad habits. Being told that we are lovers, made by love, for love, to love. We are lovers, and we're made to be in relationship and to show the love of God and let it flow right through us to the other person. And so, one, you realize that's not, that habit's not going to get me where I want to go. That's the insight and prayer. Then you take a small step or two, and then you fall down and you get back up and you take three and four and five. And if you fall down, you get back up and you just keep going forward. And not just on, sometimes when I talk, it's like, oh, just will it. It's like, no, the Holy Spirit is there. Abba's standing there. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the example going, come on, take the next step, take the next step. We're going to amazing places.
And here's one other piece of encouragement that I would give to you as we close here is you're able to form a habit, right?
Yes.
The fact that you've had a bad habit proves that you can form habits.
Yes.
So guess what? That means you can form good habits. So let the reality that you've formed yes. some bad habits encourage you
Amen.
That I can actually form some good habits. So just, Amen. You know, it's not going to be a painless transition, but it's worth the effort. And I want to give you two practical steps that you can take. If you're a man, we have our men's integrity webinar that we do every couple of weeks. I would highly encourage you to do that. It's a free webinar where we just kind of walk you through, hey, here's what it means to be a man of integrity and help you take your next best step. If you're a parent, we have a free online course called Critical Conversations that can help you think through what are the kinds of conversations that I need to have with my kids to help them in their childhood to form good habits around how they're thinking about sexuality and their emotions. So we'll put those resources in the show notes. But thank you for being with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.